Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song, yes, and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Amen. Let's stand. Keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness roam. Keep my path free from wrath, yes, and my soul, man, we want our soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love, glory. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Amen. Soon the race will be o'er, and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. Let me sing, blessed King, all the way to the shore. Fill my way every day. Amen. Let's sing with all of our heart as we worship Him. Oh, fill my way every day with love. That's your desire? As I walk with the heavenly dove, oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Amen. Fill my way. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with a heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love.
Amen. Good afternoon.
Amen.
Glad to see one back out with us this afternoon. Got a lot of requests from this morning, and this afternoon we'll go over. Also remember, if anyone is wanting to not do your job for the next year, we'll be voting on January the 30th. If you're, if you're not wanting to do like a Sunday school job, you probably need to get away, but any other ones you can get with me or Dad or me. We'll be voting on, January the 30th for office, for the pastor's office. So just remember that, like we always do every year. All right, let's see. From this morning, Brother Don, he gave me one that says, remember Sister Cindy, she's in the hospital, Dana Fallbush, Linda Black, Brother Mark Axenroth, and remember our pastor Dad. So remember that. Let's see, we're going to go over these. Also, Wade had one that said, Mary Kamati is not feeling well. She had the booster shot, so remember her. Brother Rhino says, thank you, the Lord, for helping finish my flight review yesterday, and thank you for your prayers. So remember that. Y'all know what I said about this morning? We got us a pilot for our private jet. Let's see, we only need 50 people to raise $100,000 apiece, and we'll buy one. Brother John said he'd do it first. See, it's on his face. Y'all. He's number one. And if we get to 49, I'll be number 50. But we're going to need about 50 people to pledge $100,000 in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And we'll get it bought. And then Rhino can take over and he'll pick it out. He'll pick us a good one out for $5 million. Also, he has a written testimony that Brother Rhino's been giving out, I'm sure. So remember that. Let's see. Also, this is an announcement. Monica's and Brother Boyd's Sunday school class needs to meet after the service today to practice on your singing. So remember that for the youth services. Brother Rhino also gave me one, says, please pray for Gabby. Her stomach is hurting, so remember Sister Gabby also this afternoon. From this morning also, we have Brother Samuel's church in Gainesville. Brother that we know real well, they're not even having services now because of COVID has hit that church, him and his family. So remember that situation. Sister Sharon went to the hospital. That's Brother Joe and Sister Esther's sister, and she's not doing real well. Her kidneys are high, and they may have to put her in ICU. So remember Sharon, Sister Sharon also. Sister Barbara called and said she wasn't feeling well. Sister Ruth called, and her granddaughter both have COVID. Let's see. Still remember Anna, our Anna Dale that's going through it. She's doing better, but she, you know, with the pregnancy, she's within 2 or 3 weeks of having the baby, so I'll be well in that situation also. Also, Brother Louise's niece, 3-year-old, that was having the problems that we all know about. We ain't heard any more about it. And Sister Charlotte is quarantined. She's been close to somebody that had COVID. That's why she's not here today. I think that's all I've got. If it's not, the good Lord knows the rest of them, so we'll go with that. So I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this afternoon, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that are maybe traveling today, Lord, wherever they may be. Come down and bless them, be with them, and guide them, Lord. Be with our services here today. Give Wade strength. Lord, give us the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Lord, there's many, many sick, Lord. We got our hands on all these requests that was here, Lord. You come down and bless them all today. The sick, whatever they need, Lord, you come down and be with them and guide them. But forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Also, we're going to go over the birthday list. So I'm going to need a key of E flat. So a January birthday we haven't went over yet, so we're going to go over them. We all remember Mercy. She's already had her birthday. Little John's already had his birthday. Sister Trudy Collins has had hers. Let's see, Bella, which she's just turned 15. I can't believe it. She's 15 years old, but I thought somebody had mentioned that. Nyla's got one this month. Won't be long. Tomorrow, right? Josiah's got one. Sister Monica's got one. Sister Anna Marunga's got one. Kaylee and Zoe's got one on the same day. Like I just don't understand that. And Sister Sarah and Sister Ruth McFerrin all four of those born on the same day. And Wade's got one this month also, so to remember them all. So we'll sing happy birthday to Sarah.
Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. And the best year you've ever had. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. And the best year you've ever had. Amen. Let's give them a hand clap. Amen. Happy birthday. Praise the Lord. Another year. Means everybody's going to turn a little bit older in 2022. That's the bad news. But no matter what, we're still going to praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord
258. No matter what tomorrow brings, no matter what's in store, I will praise the Lord.
Amen.
The one thing about it, we've never been this old. None of us.
Praise the Lord.
Do that in key.
F. I will praise the Lord.
I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I will praise the Lord. Amen. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I will praise. Do you mean that? Amen. Are you going to love him no matter what? Let's sing it. Love him, will love the Lord. Oh, I will love the Lord. Oh, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, with all of our heart, we're gonna praise him. Oh, I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. Oh, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has store, I will praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. No matter what tomorrow brings, we're going to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I saw our pastor when we were living in Maryland for 15 years. He's probably about 90-something now. And, I just remember, he had a lovely home on a hill, and just a lovely home. And, of course, him and his wife, they're much older now, and they're close to the 90s or in the 90s, and he's now in a home, and I came across a book, and it said, when this whole game of life, what we call game of life, when it's all over, everything got to go back in the box. Your house, just like Monopoly, it's got to go back in the box. You can't take it with you. But I came across a picture that someone, his daughter, put on Facebook, and he was in the home, but he had that message book in his hand. And I said, my goodness, that's something he can take with him. If it's in his heart, you can take it with you. So amen, let's hold on to what we got. Praise the Lord. The things we have are good, but they're just borrowed, just temporary. Amen, but we got something that's going to last forever by the grace of God. Amen. That's why we sing Just a Closer Walk. Let's sing 124, Just a Closer Walk. Amen. In the key of G. Amen. We'll start with the chorus. Just a Closer Walk. Is that your desire this afternoon? Amen. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord. Let it be.
Amen.
Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea.
from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Oh, praise Him, let me walk close to Thee.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's try 272. Fill my cup. Lift it up. Do that in key of G. Amen. Fill my cup. Amen. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up.
is thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Amen. It's just a chorus. Fill my cup, Lord. Ask him that this afternoon. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, oh, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Amen. Let's just raise our hands and worship him as we sing. Fill my cup. You are that cup he can fill up. Just lift yourself up to him this afternoon. Oh God, bless us, Lord. Help your people, Lord Jesus. Strengthen us in this hour, dear God. Draw us closer, oh Lord Jesus. We need you, Lord Jesus. Our children need you, Lord God. We all need you, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. Heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, I lift it up and make me whole. Amen. With all your heart. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, I lift it up and make me whole.
Amen. Our sister Nala, you can come on up, sister. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Still you love God for me.
Praise the Lord for that talent. Amen. Brother Terrence, I think we got a way we can raise that money for those airplanes. We just start charging people to come in. Amen. No, praise the Lord, sisters. That was wonderful. Praise the Lord. Amen. Y'all excited for the word?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's get our hearts ready as our brother come out. We'll just sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart. Amen. And ask God to come on in and bless us this afternoon.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, oh my Lord. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, oh my Lord. I want to see you high and lifted up, oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
And how are we going to see him? We're going to see him in the Word of God.
Amen.
And then we will see him face to face. That's our goal, is to see the one that died for us. Amen?
Amen.
Be able to see him in flesh for an eternity. We'll get tired. We'll have to go home. We'll be home. Amen? Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you again here. Enjoying the service. It's bad weather outside, but we're going to have some good weather inside.
Amen?
Amen? Let the rain fall in here. That's all right. Amen? Amen. Just get us all good and wet. By way of announcement, Brother Aaron will be preaching Wednesday night. Remember my heart cath on Tuesday morning at 7:30. And if all goes well, we'll be at Brother Richard Heights the next weekend. Remember his wife. I got to call him and ask him, is she was really weak, but really doing very well. They had a treatment. I was telling you this morning about the Lyme disease. There is no cure that's FDA approved. So they went to Mexico to try a new drug because it really does debilitate her. She'll feel good one moment, and then the next moment she'll feel like all the energy's sapped out of her. So she puts up with that 24 hours a day, and she's been sick for a while. So we're just praying. I told Brother Rich before he left, he said, we believe in doctors. I said, yeah, we believe in doctors. We believe doctors can line you up. We know God's the healer, but we do use doctors to line the body up so that it can be healed.
Right.
Amen. So we're just going to keep praying for them, and we'll be up there next Sunday if all is well. And Brother Bob will be with you preaching this next weekend if I'm going to be gone. All right. Also, January 22nd, Brother Darrell Ward will be here. Youth service. We're going to have, we'll have our normal time with the youth, the young kids and the older kids. I'm hoping and praying that Brother Andre can bring a group with him from Tennessee. We're talking about that. So we'll have a good time in the Lord. Always enjoy Brother Darrell Ward. He's got a real wonderful testimony and a real wonderful life. And we appreciate him, love him with the love of the Lord. And he'll be preaching for us that Sunday, January 23rd. We'll just have one service. So in case the people that do come need to get back home, they can get on back. And we'll just have that one service. Also remember the Valentine Banquet, February the 5th at 4 o'clock. Pictures will be taken at 4, and then we'll eat sometime thereafter. All right, so make sure you put your name downstairs on the refrigerator if you're coming. Also, remember June's in South Carolina. Pray for her dad. And remember that we're going to have an Easter meeting Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, this 15th, 16th, and 17th of April. And Brother Tim Cross and Brother Mike Oltig will probably be doing the services. I was telling Bob, you know, you wonder how people, dad would do it too, but you get somebody on your heart, you know, you're praying about, I don't want to just bring anybody, people here that's not going to help y'all. I want to bring somebody here that'll help you and not hurt you. And I asked Brother Dan Daisley one time, I said, how do you know if, you know, who you going to call? Because he called me one time and he said, Brother Wade, I can't get you off my mind. You've been in my mind on the plane trip coming back from Africa. I said, boy, that's pretty scary. But he said, that's the way I bring people in. He said, now if I think about them one time, it's not a problem. He said, but now if I just keep getting impressed that your name keeps coming up, he said, I usually call and preach, you come and preach and we have good services. So that's kind of the way I've been doing, is praying for a couple of people. I know Brother Mike Oltig just went through open heart surgery, but I did call him and he's been preaching a good bit at his church, so he's doing better. Just keep him in your prayer. Just remember all these things. Remember the ones that are sick, the ones that are not here. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. I ask you, Lord, that you forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes that we make against you, Lord. I pray, Father, now that you'll be the active participant in this service, Lord, that you'll take over as we were talking about this morning. Lord, may what be said today will be said, Lord, straight from the mind of God. And I pray that the people, Lord, will take this and chew on it, and may it be meat, Lord, and may it be something that will nourish them, Lord, for the week ahead. We know that Satan would love to destroy every one of us. But, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would be with us. You said you would raise up a standard. You said you'd be with us and never forsake us, and you never put on us any more than we can stand. So, Father, we take those promises and we hold on to them, Lord. We ask you just to be with the ones, Lord, that are on the highways traveling back and forth. We pray that you'd be with them, Lord. Be with the little bride all around the world, Lord. Take care of us. We're your bride, Lord. You said you would. So, Lord, it's been a long journey. Many have fought the battle. But, Lord, there's victory. There's victory in you. I pray that you'd just be with us now and further in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's drop down to verse 10. He was in the world. We were talking this morning. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And this Word was made flesh. Whatever we were talking about, all that up there from 1 through 13, we were talking about John and then talking about the Lord Jesus. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated, and the Lord has blessing to the reading of the Word. And we'll go ahead and go to Hebrews 10. We've read this before, but I want you to really understand that wherefore he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. In other words, it wasn't the sacrifices, it wasn't the offerings. Now it did bring Jesus Christ on the scene, but that wasn't Jesus Christ. The offerings in the Old Testament was not Jesus. It was a prefigure, or it was an example of the one sacrifice, as we looked in the book of Hebrews, and Bob's going through it, where it says that sacrifice doesn't have to be made over and over again. Jesus Christ was the supreme sacrifice. No other sacrifice is needed after that. I hope we see that. And the Bible tells us, though, that we need to be the sacrifice. We need to sacrifice our life. Amen. Which is our reasonable service, the Bible tells us, to sacrifice. And you know, I was watching the young ladies, don't call them girls anymore, the young ladies, up here singing. I thought, God, that's what you wanted. Amen. That is what you saw before the foundation of the world. Amen. Nice, beautiful young ladies, long hair. Innocent, yes. Right. Virgin, yes. Doing the work that they were given to do. Amen. Be able to sing, yeah. Be able to play an instrument. Right. How many instruments can you play? 20, 30? I don't like you. I always pick on her because she's left-handed too, so she can take it. I hope. But not, you see what I mean though, you look at that picture, but you go out and go look at the world. Listen, go pick me 3 girls out of the world. You're not gonna get that kind of character. You're not gonna get that. And if nothing else we get out of this message of the hour that we love so well, and to talk about the seals and the Daniel 70 weeks and all this, it's the life that we're projecting to the world that, yes, we are different. Yes. And we can be different. See, that's a testimony that those girls can stand here and be above the world. Right. Not do as the world. Right. Now, I'm talking about all you sisters that do that. But they were up here and I was going, God, that picture. That picture. That's what you wanted. Amen. You wanted a pure, virtuous, sinless bride. Amen. Without spot or wrinkle. Singing the praises of God. Playing the instruments. And not doing it for show or money or doing it for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Don't ever lose that. Don't ever lose that, young ladies. Young men, young ladies, don't ever lose that. You're in this world, but you don't have to be of this world. This world will drag you down, tear you up, spit you out, and never turn around and look at you again. Amen. So that's what the devil will do. If he ever gets you a little bit. Now, I know we all have testimonies, but I can testify myself that I wasn't a good guy. But God saved my soul. Amen. I wasted 20 years of my life. Wasted it. Because it gained me nothing. Right. Oh yeah, I was a good guy, I was a good husband, I was good this, a good that. I was worthless. And you're worthless without God.
Right.
You're worthless. Amen. It's like Brother John said, perfect example. Where are you going to end up? If Bill Gates doesn't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he's going to hell.
Right.
I don't care how much money you make.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen? Because he didn't accept Jesus Christ as a Savior. The simplest thing you can do, and a billionaire can't do that. That's the God we serve. Made it so simple.
Yes.
I don't know why I'm doing this. Made it so simple that not one person that hits this earth and breathes a breath does not have that same opportunity. Every person. You say, oh no, over in India. No. If you have a desire in your heart, God will send somebody over there. Amen. God will send you somebody if you have a desire, because you know what? He said he would give you the desire of your heart. And the desire of your heart is what? Either to serve God or serve the devil.
Right.
One of the two. There's not anything in between.
Right.
Amen? That's why we counsel with the girls and counsel, or young ladies, and counsel with the young men, and have these youth meetings and stuff to get them to feel important, number one.
Yeah.
They're important. They're important to us. They're important to God.
Yeah. Right.
But to keep yourself clean, to keep yourself away from the world and the things of the world. Because listen, a lot of us didn't. And we carry scars. And that's why we want to be so adamant about sheltering and preaching and teaching and doing these things for the youth, so that you won't make the same mistake we did.
Amen.
Amen. So you can be, as we're talking about today, a sinless, virtuous bride of Jesus Christ. Because you get born again, that's what you are. Oh, you got problems in your flesh, sure, and problems in your spirit realm, but not in your soul. Your soul is just as eternal as God is. It is the eternal of God.
Right.
Amen? So let's continue here. Hebrews 10:5, a body hast thou prepared me. We were talking about this morning, there's a literal body that was prepared that came onto this earth 2,000 years ago in a city called Bethlehem, not on December the 25th, but in April. And he brought a natural body in, but that the only reason that natural body came is because in the Garden of Eden, there was a marriage between Adam and Eve, but that marriage didn't get consummated like God wanted it consummated. The devil stepped in, and he consummated it through a beast. And that's what caused all this that we're dealing with now. But God knew that, so he had to come in a literal body to then begin to build his spiritual body. Amen? That's what he was telling Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, your first birth is what's killing you. You need another birth. That's why, and I'll read here in just a few minutes where Brother Branham told us, and we've read it many times, but we're going to read it again, where he said, I just don't know that we're getting them to Christ. And are we? I want to ask you a question. Are we getting our kids and our wives and husbands that don't serve the Lord, and different ones? Are we getting them to Christ, or are we just saying, you got to believe this message? You got to believe this message. Well, get them to Christ first. You get them nailed into Christ, and I'll promise you, they'll come to the message. Amen? They'll come to the message of the hour. But they got to get the new birth first. Because the new birth is not the message of the hour in that form that it's just the message of the hour. No. The new birth is knowing that Jesus Christ died for your soul, gave his soul a ransom so he could see his seed, and that's what you are. You are the seed of God, as Brother Bob was talking about this morning. So the marriage vows were marred in the garden. Jesus Christ came, and remember, he didn't get married because he didn't need to be married. He was looking for a spiritual bride that was going to, though, become flesh. Listen. That's why he didn't want, when he created the Genesis 1:26 man, that was a spirit man. That didn't have flesh. That was a spirit man. But see, God didn't want to keep that because he showed what he wanted to do when he dropped down into 2:7, Genesis 2 verse 7, and said, I'm going to put that in human flesh. And that's what he wanted to do. He wanted always to live with us in human flesh. Always. That way he can fellowship with us. Remember, he fellowshiped with Adam. He fellowshiped with Eve. He went down and through the garden and fellowshiped with them. In the garden, Adam and Eve, that was his wife. They had just not consummated the marriage, and I don't think they have to consummate it like we consummate it now, because it's a spoken word of God. Not by sex is anything worth anything. Amen? But we have to have it to get here, so it's all right, because it's permitted by God. Okay? The bed's undefiled. So just don't worry. Don't, when we talk about, I don't want you to see these two schools of thought. You don't want to say, well, sex is bad. It's not. If it's done right. It's like Brother Brown said, everything's right if it's done right. It's not if it's done wrong. So you go do it right, ladies and gentlemen. And then whatever, that's sanctioned by God. Same way with anything with God. Amen? What did Brother Brown say? Adultery is what? Adulterous act is against God. But the right act is ordained of God. Amen? But same act, but you got to go the right way. All right? That's why the marriage and divorce situation, we're not going to get into it, but that's what messed up the beginning. That's why Brother Brown had to preach marriage and divorce. It's because the marriage vows is what got missing in the garden. Right. It was the Adam and Eve were presented and said, here, this is what you're going to do. Multiply and replenish the earth. Satan jumps right in the middle of it and brings his own thought into it through the beast, and he commits adultery with Eve. So then God said, okay, don't worry. I'll put enmity between you. There's a division now between me and you, but I'm going to bring it back together because of the woman's seed, which is the person we're talking about, the literal body of Jesus Christ, had to come on this earth so that a spiritual body could come out of it. And then that spiritual body, though, whether we go by the grave or whether we go to the body change, we're all going to be in human flesh for an eternity. Because Jesus Christ, what? He didn't throw his flesh away and get him a new one. When he resurrected in the same flesh, or there would have been something left in the tomb.
Right.
Huh?
Amen.
There would have been something left in the tomb. That is an empty tomb.
Amen.
There's nothing in there because whatever was in there is out.
Right, sir.
And then he came back on the day of Pentecost in the baptism of the Holy Ghost into your flesh. And now we can say the Word has been made flesh again.
Amen.
You and I are the Word made flesh. If you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5 verse 23 said, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Which that's what you and I, we are the body. All right, let's go to Colossians 1 verse 15. I want to hurry through this and get to something at the end. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He was born right. Now, we can't help being born wrong. Not one of you decided to be born. Okay? You did not decide that. It was the divine providence of God that got you here. Amen? I mean, what Brother Brown say? He said it's more a miracle for the natural birth than it is for the virgin birth. Virgin birth was one seed, one germ, put in the womb of Mary, and there's baby Jesus. That's not, don't happen with us. This one and this one, this one and this one. Why do you say that? This one was bred to this one to get you here. That's a miracle. But he had to be the firstborn of every creature because, listen, our first birth killed us. His first birth saved us. He didn't need a new birth. He didn't say, Nicodemus, now me and you need to be born again. No, he said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Because you came a different way than I did. See, Nicodemus couldn't understand that because what the first thing he said? He said, if I got to go back and get into my mother's womb, see, natural, and be born again. No. That's going to kill you again. So you got to be born, Jesus said, what? From above. You're born from above. You're born from heaven, sitting in heavenly places. But he had to be the firstborn. There had to be one come to the first fruits. There had to be one that lived these virtues. There had to be one that lived joy, peace, long-suffering, and all that. He had to be the example. We had to have an example.
Right.
Amen? And it wasn't given to a man. Now listen, Isaiah had a part. Jeremiah had a part. Ezekiel had a part. David had a part. Solomon had a part. Each one of them had a part, but they weren't the fullness. So they finished their work in Malachi. And then it took four. Do you know when you flip that page from Malachi to where it says New Testament, 400 years elapsed during that time, that one page flip. Because from Malachi to Jesus was 400 years. There wasn't a prophet on the ground until John the Baptist showed up and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I've come to introduce something." What? He come to introduce Christ, the literal man, to the earth. It's okay to say amen. Those of you that are awake. "For in him were all things created that are in heaven or earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for..." Who's this him? Jesus Christ. But not the body. The body developed 2,000 years ago. This is the Son of God. This is a creator that said, "Let there be." Because Jesus stood one day and he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Now that flesh didn't say that. What was inside said that. Amen? Amen? All this, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now who is this guy? He's the head of the body, the church, the bride, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. We were talking about this morning. The preeminence of God means that he has first... he has first choice. You make him the first choice when you make any decision. That's what preeminence says. He is the preeminent one. When you do something in your life, he's thought of first. Anything. That's why the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will come into place." What? If you give him the preeminence. And that's what we're working on. Brother Brown says that's going to be hard for us to do, really, is to give him the preeminence, because we've been here 2,000 years after he said that, and we're still here. "That in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." All right, let's go to the masterpiece. Just kind of jump through this real quick, what we're talking about this morning. "And then came finally the great head," the head of all of it. The rest of the body just spoke of it. "The foundation was laid by the patriarch, but the body was built by the word, which was the prophets." And here comes the head of it all. Jesus comes on the scene. Now, why was Jesus the head of all? Why was he the headstone? Why was he the capstone? Why was he the head of the corner? Why was he the rock of stumbling, the rock of offense? Why was he all these things? You ever ask that question? Ask yourself that every once in a while. Why does it say he's all these things? Because he is. He came here to make a church. And he's the only one that could do it the right way. So he's the head. He's the preeminent one. That we have to, everything flows from him to us. Everything flows from him to us. Because he's the apex of everything. He's what? God manifested in human flesh. No more, no less. "So the body was built by the word, which was the prophets," and here comes the head of it all. Jesus came on the scene. So listen, the headship of the church is who? The denomination? James Dobson? Jensen Franklin? Name them all. I just remember those. Is that the preeminent one? Is that the one that created? Well, yeah, they got this. They made this church over here. The Pope made the Catholic Church, and this one started this church, and this started. Who's the preeminent one in the Bible? Who's the only one that can save your soul? Who's the only one that can put these virtues inside of you and help you live them? That's one man. That's Jesus Christ. That's why we have to get back to the Word of God, not to a denominational idea that somebody just came up with. I can't take that. I can't take an idea that somebody just came up with. I got to be able to read it in the Bible. That's why I was telling you the other day, every doctrine that we are different than the world is written right here. So whose problem is it? Ours? No. Bible? No. Somebody interjected their own thought into this thing. Amen? There's no Trinity in the Bible. Never has been. Never will be. None. Listen, when you have headship, you don't have four husbands. You don't have three husbands. You don't have two husbands. One husband. And if Jesus is our one husband, then he must be God Almighty in human flesh. Amen? Or then we're married to another, which is very simple. But the world stumbles at it. We're going to read it in just a minute. Everything that he did, the world stumbled at. It's like Dad always said, it's kind of like, you know, you got a football field of 300 yards long, or 300 feet long, 100 yards long, 50 yards wide. And you got one little rock about this big, and it's right out just somewhere like on the 40-yard line. I mean, a herd of elephants wouldn't hit it if you sent them from one end to the other. But the Bible says he's become the stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and you're going to trip over it. Right. It's like having that big old field, and you just all of a sudden you're running right toward that one stone, and you're going to fall right over it. Why? They didn't understand who he was. That's what my whole point is. The world does not understand the Son of Man. The world does not understand. You and I, to this moment, doesn't understand it 100%, but we're getting there. We at least have a way to get there. Thank God we can open up a book. Thank God we can listen to a message and press play whenever we want to press it. But this body was built by the Word, and the Word got so eroded down through the church ages. They added the catechism. They added I believe this is it. Well, I believe he was born in December. Well, I believe he was the second person of the Trinity. Well, I believe he was this. I don't believe he was all the way God. I believe he was part of the way God. That's how these things get started, folks. When Paul and Peter lived on this earth, there was not a Baptist church on every corner. There wasn't a Methodist church on every corner. There wasn't a Presbyterian church on every corner. There was one church. But afterwards, Paul said grievous wolves are going to come in. Peter said the Antichrist is going to show up. And he's going to start what? What is a denomination? Division. Common denominator. It's a division. Why would you want to be divided? It's not going to be a street corner for Baptists and Methodists and Pentecostals. And that don't make us different, but I'm telling you, we are different. We are different. You better expect yourself to be different. You better let the world know you're different. It's like Martin Luther stood up that day and they said, oh, Martin Luther said the world's against you. He said, let me tell you today. He said, if he had a loudspeaker, I believe he'd have said, let me tell the world, I'm against them. I don't care if the world's against me. If you love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. You know what the Bible says? Now, we have to live in the world. We have to work. We have to do all these things, but we don't have to love being here. That's our problem. We get comfortable. Oh, got a good job. Government's giving me $1,500 not to do nothing. We drive cars that cost more than that first little old trailer that I bought. I'm trying to think how much it was. What about $6,000? Wasn't that much, Mama said. Wasn't that much. I had a motorcycle that was worth more than that. $3,000, Mama said, is that first little trailer I was telling you about that we bought. So, yeah, it was, because I remember paying that for it. Okay. But see what we've come from? We've come from that to this. But have we come from starting with God in a baby form and now more mature? A better house? I'm not worried about that. Like Brother John said, you know, you can live in a mansion if you want to. But when you pass away, they're going to put you in a 6-foot box. And somebody else is going to get your house. Right? And if you don't pay your bills, the IRS will get it. They can have it. But give me the Lord. It's not bad to have fine things. Y'all know that. We've never taught them to not have money. I want all you kids to go to school and get a good job because that's required now. It's required that you get a good education to get a job. And if time goes on, I don't want you to be paupers. I want you to have a good job because that means you pay good tithe. There's always a motive behind it, sister. Always a motive. But the body was built by the Word, which was the prophets. And here comes the head of it all. Jesus comes on the scene. then this headpiece was put upon it. Now, I want you to understand something. Watch this. This headpiece was put upon it. All right? I want you to keep that thought because later on we're going to look at something. Because that headpiece had to fit perfect, right? Don't get me wrong, Sister Rebecca, she's a pretty girl, pretty lady. But her head on my body, ugly. Right? So Jesus didn't come with a deformed body. He didn't come with a deformed head. He came to put this is my point. He came to put the perfect head on a perfect body. That's what he come to do. He come to right the wrong. What happened in the garden was wrong. It was hideous. It was horrible. Horrible. So he just took all that horribleness and came down here and said, I'll take care of it. I'll fit the right body on the right head. I'll fit the right head on the right body. I'll make this thing work. You just got to believe in me. Right? He that believes in me will have life everlasting. Amen? Not me. You know Jesus. I'm talking about him, not me. Now watch. Brother Bram goes through all this. We find in him the perfect reflection of the Word. For he was the Word, the fullness of the Word. Now again, God has the perfect masterpiece. Again, who's he talking about? He's talking about the bride. Now the perfect masterpiece is on the earth. Amen. There might have been missing a foot or an ankle or an arm or something, but now, today, this is the complete Word of God. Right. This is the open book. Listen. When Michelangelo walked up to that big, I think it was, the statue's like 4 feet by 3 feet or something, the one of Moses that Michelangelo took. Do you know that? To me and you, that just looked like a block of granite. They rolled that granite in there and set it down on the floor, and Michelangelo looked at it. He was a master builder. He looked at it and he said,
"Hallelujah!
I can already see the image inside there." It didn't develop somewhere else. It always was there. It was always in there. It just had to come from the mind of the builder. And he had to remember to knock off. Listen, if he just went in there and started whacking away, well, he might have knocked the head off of it that was in that image. But no, he chipped away. For 2,000 years, he's been chipping away. And now, if you'll read the masterpiece, Brother Brown said, now, he said, it's the honing age. It's not the chipping off age. You're not chipping big. You know, used to he probably chipped off big pieces, big hunks. But when he got down to that detail, he used a little bitty chisel. And then what's the last thing you do when you have a masterpiece? You polish it. That's right. You take you some, you have to go to church and listen to the preacher. And he just does this right here to your flesh. He just makes you raw sometimes. But you know what? When he stood back from that thing, he saw what was in his mind before the foundation of the world. That's what he's seeing now, folks. He's seeing the masterpiece again. God has the perfect masterpiece, not marred with, put in whatever you want to, ideas of man. Well, I said, you see those sisters standing up here. I'm going to say it. That's the perfect example of God. That you can live that. The perfect example of a bride without spot or wrinkle that God is going to present it, he said, to himself. Amen? But we got to get there first. But there had to be a beginning. There had to be a time when they rolled that big stone into or set that big piece of stone in Michelangelo's studio, and I guess me and you walk by it and we look at it and go, what's that? Big old piece of rock. Right? But what did Michelangelo see? He already saw the image inside there. If not, he would have knocked off the wrong piece at the wrong time. He actually literally saw that image. Well, you know what did God do? Before the foundation of the world, he saw that image. And he knew as a master builder, he knew how to chip it away. Through 2,000 years of church ages, he chipped away. Now he's come down a time where he's what? He's getting the eyes right. He's getting the head right. He's getting everything right to where the detail. Because remember, when Michelangelo stood back and looked at it, he saw that image and it was so real. It was so real. Till he struck it on the knee and said, speak. Well, that's what God's waiting on me and you. To come to the place where he can step back and say, speak. Because I see myself. I finally see me. I don't see a world that's out here doing the things of the world. I see myself. I see the culmination of what I've been thinking about for 6,000 years when he said, let there be light. You and I are the culmination of that. There'll be no other Bible. There'll be no other church. There'll be no other bride. Everybody understand that? This is it. This is the masterpiece. Perfect masterpiece. Again. All right, let's continue on. Let's go to Psalms 85:9. I love that scripture. Dad read it, like I said, a long time ago. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. In other words, God and man has become one. But I wanted to stop at this morning, but let's stop at it now because I want to bring something out a little bit more. Truth shall spring out of the earth. Not on the earth. Spring out of the earth. What happens when God and man meets? There's a perfect masterpiece. And it's me and you. That earth right there is you. Because when righteousness and peace kiss, that's what came to being. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Heaven is my throne, God said, and earth is my what? Footstool. Statue of a perfect man. Spring out. Remember the Sister Shepherd's dream? What came out of the top of that pyramid? Water. Bursting out. Flowing out. Getting out all the trash. We'll get into that later on. I want to get back into the statue of perfect man a little bit later on, but not now. Is everybody okay? I hope this don't bore you. Number two, God's gifts always find their places. And he was a being on earth, a being of time, which meant that he must have had a beginning. Therefore, he created himself a body. He's the only guy that can do that. We can't create ourselves a body to live in. Like I said, you didn't have anything to do with you getting here. Nothing. It was providence of God. The foreknowledge of God. But he could do it because he's a creator. He created himself a body for himself that by this creation he might save the lost creation that he had created. Listen, he didn't make us get lost. He knew we would get lost. If he put us in flesh, he knew we would get lost. Therefore, the attribute of Savior could be displayed. Everybody all right? Look at number three. How could God be created if he's a spirit? How could he be? He's eternal. He never was created. He never will be created because he was God at the beginning. But he that is the beginning of the creation of God, talking about Revelation 3:14, was Jesus Christ when he was made manifest. When he was made manifest. In other words, when he came on the earth, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. We've already been through all that. We know what happened there in the River Jordan, and we know what happened then that when he went to the mountain and said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him, which is talking about adoption. And I want to read this one quote. They do not have this, but I want to read this quote from Adoption Series 1960. I just thought about it back here. It says, tell me, my brother, tell me, my sister, when was the time that the sons of God was ever to be manifested outside of this time now? When were there ever was a time in history that manifest the time to deliver all nature? Nature, the nature itself is groaning, waiting for the time of manifestation. Talking about Romans 8. Why, before the atonement was made, before the Holy Ghost was ever poured out, before even the Old Testament, on down, there couldn't have been manifestations. It had to be this time. Now, all things has been brought, coming, shaping up to a headstone. We'll get to that in just a second. We'll get into shape in just a second. To the manifestation of sons of God coming back and the Spirit of God coming into those men so perfectly until their ministry will be so close to Christ till they'll join Him in the church together. Join Him in the church together. Amen? So we'll get to that in just a second. But let's go to Psalms 118, verse 21. And that's where we kind of was tailing off this morning. What is a stone? What is a rock? In the Bible, a rock is a symbol, as Chris was talking about this past weekend, which that means what? Revelation.
Right.
You look at a rock, you think strength. You think, well, this ain't going to move. That rock of Gibraltar has never moved in thousands of years. You know, you see that big rock on, what is it, Prudential or somewhere. You see that big rock. And that's what I think of when Psalms 118 verse 21 says, I will praise thee for thou hast heard me and thou art my salvation. The stone which the builders refused. Now the stone is Christ, right? Because He's the head of all revelation. He is the stone. Remember, He's the stone that rolled out of Babylon and broke the iron and the clay and all that great image in Daniel. The stone which the builders refused. Who refused Him? The Old Testament refused Him. The New Testament refused Him. Denominations has refused Him. They've refused all. They've refused some of it. They'll take some, but they won't take all of it. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Now that Brother Joe was showing me a something a brother had done, and I'll bring it up next Sunday or Sunday after on the screen, where it shows that the same headstone here is down here, all right? Which you got your corners. Because He had to become, listen, if they rejected Him here, He's going to have a church.
Amen.
Without spot or wrinkle. He's going to have a bride that all these characteristics, virtues, are going to flow through them. So it doesn't matter what man does. They can start 20 million denominations. God's going to have a church. He's going to have a bride. So what He done was, they rejected Him. Well, that just cut that off. He just went down to the bottom and started on the day of Pentecost, down at the foundation.
Right.
And started building back up again.
Right.
He's going to have a church.
Yes.
He's going to have a bride. Not 10, one.
Right.
That's what I asked it. I shouldn't have done it. Because a new little Baptist preacher there in town, we were talking about something, and Chris said something about something, and I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, you're Baptist? He said, yeah. I said, why don't you go to a Methodist church? He just kind of looked at me, and he said, because I'm a Baptist. I said, well, what's the difference in you and a Methodist? I thought y'all all believed Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I thought you all believed in, no, we don't believe like they believe. I said, so you're telling me that they're all going to hell and you're going to heaven? Well, now, I ain't exactly saying that. I said, well, wait a minute. You're saying they're wrong and you're right. Of course, I let him go. I let him off of that because he's a good kid. I let him off. I didn't say any more about it. But he had that deer in the headlight look. I said, well, why are you believing this doctrine and you're believing it's this way because you don't believe this one, and then y'all all going to go to heaven, and what's going to happen? We're going to have divisions in heaven? I don't think so. We're going to have one city. We're going to have one earth. There's going to be many heavens. Read your Bible. Heavens and one earth. There's not going to be 100 earths. There's going to be one earth. Why? Because that's where you came from. That's why He thought so much of you. He put you in this earth. What a mighty God we serve. Ephesians 2 verse 19 says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. You believe in prophets? Yeah, so do I. Jesus Christ, though being the chief cornerstone. Chief cornerstone. Start the building. If you start the building right, you know, Brother Gary built some pretty houses. I've seen him build several things myself personally. We started with a good foundation, though.
Right.
I don't care how the building looks. You put it on a shabby foundation, it will fall.
Right.
It will crack.
Yeah.
I don't care how big you build it, it will fall over. Look at the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Right.
Pisa, not pizza. What? It was not built on a good foundation. But you and I, that's why the Zerubbabel, that's why you had all the different ones where you had to clean the foundation off. Because look, the foundation was Jesus Christ, so he didn't have to be remade. You just had to clean that part off and start building the right building. All right, so let's look here. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple of the Lord. That's where we're at this morning. And where is that holy temple? It's you. Amen. And me.
Amen.
Start the building right.
Yes.
If you start right, you'll end right.
Amen.
Amen? In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation. Not just building the building to look at it. He's not just wanting to look at you today. He's wanting to dwell inside of you.
Right.
He's wanting to inhabit your building.
Right.
That's what it says right here. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God.
Amen.
Through the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's start here with 1 Peter and go to 2 Peter and then we'll get to something. Skip a little bit of this. Oh, I didn't read this quote a minute ago. I'll read it in a minute. Ye also as lively stones. Some of you right now are not very lively. Harrison. He's good. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. How are you going to do it if you don't know the Word of God? You got to be taught right.
Amen.
Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be what? Confounded. Confusion? That's what the world loves. But listen, we should not be confused.
Right.
Folks, listen, we should not be confused.
Amen.
We might not understand some things, but to be confused means not knowing where you're going or where you came from.
Right. Yeah.
Now, well, you better know where you come from and where you're going.
Yeah.
At least you should know that.
Exactly.
Shall not be confounded. Promise. Put this in the Bible. This is my promise. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, in other words, they did away with the headstone, the same has made the head of the corner. In other words, he is still, by all these scriptures, he is going down to the foundation and he is going to build a church.
Right.
It's not going to be off level. It's going to be exactly perfectly level.
Right.
And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble, what? At the word. Raise that up a little bit if you don't mind. So we can all read it there. What? Stumble at the word. Being disobedient. What? Knowing when the Bible tells you what to do and you don't do it. That's disobedience. Amen? Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. There's some people going to be appointed to that. They're just going to manifest that and, sorry, they just chose it that way. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Skip a little bit of this and we'll get down to where we're at. If that's all right, we'll not be too long. Let me read this quote. I missed it a few minutes ago. It's in the Rising of the Sun. Brother Robinson said, I'm afraid today that too many of us are not getting people to Christ. We're getting them to a church. Are to a theory. A theory. But we must get them to Christ. He is the only one that has life. He that has the Son has life. And if the life of a man that's dead be projected in you, you will live the same life he lived. You will live the same life he lived. I wrote myself a note and I go back to Yeah, he's got it up there. Okay. Now look. We must, to stay and not be confounded and to be able to do the right thing, we must go step by step through the Word of God and let somebody teach us. And we've had a good teacher. Still have a good teacher. No excuse there then. Mark that one off. If you have an excuse, that's not one of them. Mark that one off. I slept in church while he was teaching. Keep that one because you don't need to mark that one off. But look, we're getting people, are we getting people to Christ? And that's what I'm telling you. The Son of Man, that's who Christ is. Christ is the Son of Man. Listen, normal revelation of the world will not get you anywhere. Normal revelation of the world will get you nowhere. Amen? Now look. But this revelation will get you somewhere. Because listen to me. Let's go to 2 Peter 1. We'll skip a bunch of that. Go down to 2 Peter 1, guys. I know I skipped about three pages, but I don't want to. I want to be too long. I want to get something. No, just keep on going way on down. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 is right after 1 Peter 2, verse 5, which is almost at the very end. There you go. According as his divine, now this is 2 Peter. This is Peter, the naked fisherman. That can't write his name. I wonder who wrote that for him. Can't write his name. Ignorant, unlearned. That's what the Bible said. I'm talking about Bible. Peter was naked, out on the boat, fishing. And you know, they're pretty rough. Fishermen have a pretty, yeah, they're rough. So what better a man that got turned around on the day of Pentecost by the Word of God that wanted to fight physically and cut people's ears off and stab them and shoot them and whatever. Lord will not let you go. He said, Peter, before the cock crows this morning, in other words, before the morning, before the sun comes up, you're going to deny me three times. Three times you're going to deny you even knew who I was. And I bet Peter inside was like, yeah, right. I'll cut another ear off if I can. But buddy, when they hauled him off to Pilate's hall, where'd he go? You can see him over there in the corner around the fire, you know, kind of hunkered down. And you know this man? Nope, don't know him. You know this man? I know you talk just like, nope, don't know him. And in the third person, he got a little righteous indignation. He didn't have a whole lot of temperance or patience at that moment because he started cursing. I don't know this person, but listen, when he got born again, he wrote this. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding. Read this whole chapter. There is all kind of, I guess, is that adjectives? Anna, is that Abby? Exceeding, precious, and all these things that is adjectives that describe something way above what it's supposed to be. Whereby are given unto us exceeding, not just great. It could have read like this, whereby are given unto us great promises. That don't sound very good. I mean, it sounds okay. But when you say whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, in other words, you might be partakers. Partakers, not lookers, not window dressers, but partakers of the divine nature of God. Divine nature. That's why you must have the new birth before you can get these virtues. You do not know how to get them. You do not know what they are. You might be partakers of the divine nature, having what? Escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now look, that was a wonderful dissertation. Peter is setting you up. He's saying divine power, according to divine power, has given unto who? Us. All things pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He's talking about us. All right? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All right. Okay. Peter says, oh, wait a minute. And besides this, and besides what I just told you, you got to get the new birth. You got to get the divine nature of God. And beside this, giving all, there's another one, giving all diligence. Add to your faith, your new birth, virtue. And to your virtue, add knowledge. And to knowledge, add temperance. And to temperance, add patience. I believe when Peter was writing this, there was probably some tears running out of his eyes. He's going, man, I used to not have any of them. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. He didn't finish there. Watch. Scroll up. For if these things, these virtues, be in you, and look, there's another, abound, heaping over, cup full, saucers running over, they make you. That will make you Jesus Christ if you'll let it. Oh, I can't be. Yeah, you can. Because the perfect one's inside you. Be ye therefore perfect. Even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So wait a minute. So wait a minute. Hold on. So where'd Jesus get all these virtues at? From the Father. The Creator. The one that never sinned. The one that never had a problem. The one that never did any of those things wrong. The divine nature of God was in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Not another person, same person, but he, like I said this morning, he let them develop out through his flesh so that he can display them so that we can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and get this whole statue of a perfect man in just four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the divine nature of God.
Right.
Is that okay?
Amen.
Can you say amen then?
Amen.
Okay. They make you that you shall neither be what? Barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, that's why these virtues are a requirement in this age. Who wants to be barren? Who wants to be unfruitful? I thought we were lively stones. But look, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see or understand afar off. And look, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin? Wow. Wherefore the rather brethren give, there's that word again, diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, what a promise. Look at that. Ye shall never fall. Did Jesus fall? No. If you take that divine nature and you put it in you, guess what? You're not going to fall either. Oh, you're going to have problems, but you're not going to fall. You know why? Because you're a mature Christian. You know how to handle things. You don't let little things bother you anymore. Just saying. Remember? Some of this. But if you'll grow, you'll never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. Look, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Look at this whole scripture. He used some wonderful adjectives. We hear a lot of bad ones out in the world, so we can get some good ones here if you don't mind. Abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, look, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. What? These things. That's why we preach in this church, actively preach the statue of a perfect man over and over again. I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. What? These virtues. Though you know them and be established in the present day truth. Present day truth. Today is the present day truth. Now, I'm not going to get into the virtues, but I want to read something. I'll show you a little something that I believe will help us. Because remember, the head and the body spiritually has been separated. Everybody okay with that? The body came back on the day of Pentecost and it's been building the body. The head's here. The head's Jesus Christ in the seventh dimension with a glorified body the Son of Man. Everybody okay? All right? So it's not complete yet. But there's got to come a time where it's got to be back together again. Everybody got that? Amen? That's our commission. Colossians 1 verse 18 says, He is the head of the body. We read it. I'm going to read it again. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. If you let these virtues work in your life, you will have the preeminence, I believe. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Now, I was looking the other day, and I know Brother Branham, he brings us in the statue of a perfect man, he starts talking about certain things about the shape of pyramids, and we know what a pyramid is. It's just like that. That's a pyramid, right? And it's three-sided, right? Not four-sided, it's three-sided. Is that right? Try. All right? Now watch. Let's read this last quote. Then Questions and Answers 1964, the question was, are you the Son of Man? I didn't put that on there because he brings a bunch before that that's not pertinent to what I wanted you to see, so I cut it short for time. Because he said, I am not he. They said, Brother Branham, are you the Son of Man? He says, no. Definitely not. I was born in sin. In other words, the Son of Man was not. So I am not he, I am his servant. And the pillar of fire is not he. And Morphe. We know it is, but it's not what he's talking about. It's in spirit form, see, which was upon the Son of Man. Remember? On the River Jordan, there was an anointing came on Jesus. And then Brother Brown said in the Garden of Gethsemane, that anointing left him. The ministry left him so he could die. Is that right? Amen. It's in spirit form, which was upon the Son of Man and has come now to anoint sons of men. To bring back, what? A ministry just exactly like he said it would be. Look, in order for the head and the rest of the body, watch, to connect together. Amen. Listen. If you take this cap that I've got in my hand, you can't see it, but you really can't see it now. If I take and put this right here on there like that, what'll happen? What happens? Slides off, gets knocked off, if it's just completely straight across. But if some way you could get it to stay, let's pay attention for just a second. Everybody wake up. This will be it right here. We'll be done. This is just something I want you to chew on. But watch. Connect together. There's no good for the head to be here and the body to be here. There's got to be a connection. There's got to be an invisible union. There's got to be bride and bridegroom connecting. All right? So that what? So that when he moves, you move. All right? Everybody all right? Now watch. Just like the pyramid as Enoch built. And we find that in that pyramid, they never did get the headstone on it. Why? The headstone's yet to come. In other words, all the pyramids in Egypt have a flat piece just like this on it. This is not on the pyramid in Egypt. Go look at it. It doesn't ever come to a point. It's got a flat piece on top. Enoch showing in the Bible of that time, remember, Brother Brown said that was the second Bible. The headstone's yet to come. The seven steps in the pyramid. We'll go through that someday. I'd just like to show you how it really is perfectly with the scripture. And now if you notice on your American dollar bill, if you got a dollar bill, you can look at it. Turn it over on the back. That great headstone, an eye says the great seal, it will come. And notice these stones. Was anybody ever here at the pyramids in Egypt? Well, if you notice, then there's hands that went up that had been there. All right. These stones are laying in there so perfect that top where the cupola, like in the top, what's a cupola? It's like a cap. Where the cupola like on the top of it, look, when that stone comes, watch this. It'll be like a great diamond fitting right down in. Everybody got that? Now, what's the shape of a diamond? That's not the shape of a diamond. That's a diamond. That's the way it's going to fit. It's going to go down in. Can't move. Can't slide. Watch. When that stone comes, it'll be like a great diamond fitting right down in there, just perfect with it. Now that stone would not fit down at the bottom foundation. A stone feel like that's not going to fit on the bottom. Right? That's what he's saying. Now watch. Neither will it fit on the second foundation or the third. It'll only fit on the top when the entire building has become fitted to that stone. Bridegroom, bride, fit in. He comes down in and you can't shake it off. Brother Brown talks of a flange in the statue of a perfect man to shed water. The bride and bridegroom uniting. Uniting together. Consummating the marriage. He's the head of it all. And he's wanting to not be with us. Not be beside us. He wants to be in us. Because if he's not inside of us, he can't work. Now watch. It'll only fit on the top foundation when the entire building has become fitted to the stone. And Jesus cannot come until the church, a body of believers, and the ministry that he wants will have to be the same. Listen. As it was then. And that brings them without us is not made perfect, Paul said, Hebrews 11. Without us, they cannot be perfected. They must have this ministry to raise up the Lutherans, Wesleyans, and all them down through the ages. A ministry, a diamond. And you read, Brother Brown talks about a diamond many, many, many times. How it reflects light. And it's got all these different colors. But if you look, he didn't say pyramid shape. He said diamond. Diamond shape. Now that's not on, it's not on here and he didn't draw it. I'm just telling you that's what I see. Because we must unite. Not just sit on top. We must unite and be together. Amen. A union, a spiritual union, an invisible union. Nobody's gonna know this. The world's not, they're gonna look at us cross-eyed. They do anyway when your sisters walk down the street and you go, what do you mean you don't wear pants? Why's your hair so long? Boy, you know what? How many times somebody told my wife not too long ago, there was a guy, saw her that, we know Roger Korn, he's been here before. He said, I just love to see godly women. You know, with long hair and a dress. He said, I love to see godly women. You know, I tell you, look at what the world tells us. The world tells us we should look at somebody that's all painted up and made up. Whatever happened to natural beauty? Those three girls, natural beauty. Godly beauty. Something I'm not ashamed of. But now they, some that I've seen I'd be ashamed of. All tatted up and got earrings and nose rings and eye rings and tongue rings and but you see how the world's, I'm sorry. You see how the world sees that though? That's common. That's normal. That's okay. No, it's not. The Bible tells you not to ink your body. Not to punch holes all in yourself. Just go in there, okay? Sorry. But we've got to be different. You cannot make yourself different. God has to make you different. I mean, when we were growing up, going to school, now Joyce is not included in that because she's a lot older. Right, Danny? You're not saying a word, are you? He's not saying nothing. I'm not going to say anything. But we had sister, we had girls in the church that they'd go to school and they'd have their breeches, pants, in their locker room. And they'd put them on when they got to school because they didn't want to get talked about. Now, Joyce Fountain, I've been with her ever since we've been kids, and that's not happened with her. But it has happened with That's not right, folks. That's living a lie. But you know what? You get born again. That's why we teach the new birth the way we do. You get born again. A born again believer won't do that. Will never do that. Because you know what? You're contrary to the Bible. You're not contrary to what this man said on a tape or what this man said 50 years ago or what the man said today behind the pulpit. It's what the Bible says. Modesty. Not be connected to the world. Listen, we're connected enough to the world. Amen? Enough to where I'm about sick of it. If you don't get sick of it, you got a problem. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. But you're not going to see that when you get to heaven. You're not going to see tatted up people and screws in their nose and all that other stuff. No, you're not going to see that. Listen, if you see it here, you're going to see it there. Because what you are here is exactly what you're going to be there. And there, if that's not included in there, you're not going to be the there that we're talking about. You're going to be in another there, which is the regions of the lost. Not trying to scare you, but I'm telling you, the Son of Man came to live what the Bible said. He lived it to a T. Now that same person came down through the church ages and look, he winked at the ignorance of man. Well, you know, he did because Luther was a Trinitarian, yet he saved him. Okay? But it wasn't time. It wasn't time for the head and the body to meet. It was time to building the body, but not time to put the top on it. To make a complete unit. You come into our age, you've got almost built to the very top, and then you've got a head that's got to unite with it. Amen. And when the head and the body unite, Brother Brown said, then that's when we're going to go in a rapture. Yes. Let's stand to our feet. You're going to go in a rapture when the head and body unites. Amen. And the same ministry. See, you can't have the same ministry in 12 or 13,000 different ways of seeing Jesus Christ. There's only one. And he's not going to accept anything different. But all that live godly in Christ shall what? Suffer persecution. Don't think it's going to be a piece of cake. It's not. But y'all the prettiest girls and boys, not boys are not pretty, they're handsome. Some of the handsomest, prettiest people that I've ever seen is our young adults. Amen. And if you're doing it just because your parents told you to do it, you're doing it wrong. Alright? You need to do it for God. You need to do it for the Lord. You know what June always told her parents? Why do you do the things? Why? You just look so, you know, you look so, plain. Look plain. So? Okay. That's alright. Plain's good to me. You know what? I can wake up and look at the same woman I look at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The world can't say that. You know what I mean? Okay? So, to me, that's plain and that's fine. But she said, if Jesus Christ can hang on a cross for 3 hours with nails in his hands, beat like hamburger meat, crown of thorns pushed on his head, a spear in his side, beat with stripes on his back, I can deal with this long hair. Because God said it was your glory. And if you cut it, it's an abomination to God. Amen? I'm just telling you what the Bible said. That's what I mean. I'm telling you what the Bible said. That's why that it's refreshing to see young adults. And I mean your sisters too, but young adults, seeing young adults that's so influenced by the internet and by this one saying this and social media saying, well, you got to do it this way. Or you got to do it this way to be cool. Listen, the only time you're going to be cool is on this earth. When you go to that other place and you've turned God down, you'll never be cool. You're going to be tormented for a long period of time. I'm sorry. God bless you. But listen, the head and the body must unite. We've got to have that headstone back and we've got to unite that thing together. With an open book, we can do that. Let's sing a song. God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord.
Me a clean heart. Oh.
He takes that stony heart and make it a heart of flesh. He can make it where he can work with it. Not be hard like the world has made us all hard at one time. You will give her hair, Lord, full. And it'll grow back, Lord, for your honor and glory, because it is her glory. And you give it to her, Lord, to wear, to show the world, Lord, that it can be done. Father, grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Renew a right spirit within me.
You love the Lord? How about, I want the brothers to come up here, and we're going to pray over this prayer cloth, so I'm going to take it with me for my heart catheterization. I do not want to go through no stinking bypass, for one, and I do not want stents in my heart. I want it to be healed, so come on up here. Any of you want to come? Elders, doesn't matter, whatever you... Oops, sorry. But I'm going to put that thing on me, and he's... I'm tired of feeling bad.
Amen.
Oh, yes, you do. So we'll get you one, too. There's one for Mom. She's having, she's going to see if she's allergic to food or not.
Everything.
Everything, food allergies and all that stuff. So they're going to have to stick her a bunch of times. All right? We're going to agree.
Amen.
God's real.
Amen.
Yes. God's real.
Yes.
He said for us to do this, call the elders of the church, and pray the prayer of faith, and we'll be healed. So let's touch this thing. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we're doing exactly what the Scripture tells us to do, Lord. To call the elders of the church, Lord, and pray the prayer of faith, Lord. Now we pray, Lord, that number one, that you'll take care of my mother, Lord, and you'll take, Lord, all those things that they're going to prick her with, Lord, may it not hurt her, Father, and may she find out, Lord, the allergies that she has. And you'll take those away then, Lord. It's something for us to pray, Lord. Now I pray, Lord, that you'd also be with me on Tuesday morning, Lord, as they do the heart catheterization. Lord, I know you're going to be there, Father. And I pray that they'll not find anything, Lord, and they'll take care of everything that needs to be done, Father. We ask you to grant these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone standing around here, anyone in this building that needs healing at this moment, Lord, I pray that you'd just come among us, Lord, and manifest yourself, Lord, in the healing power. Lord, we believe your word, and we know, Lord, that by your stripes we're already healed. So, Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you would bless each one, Lord. Take care of this church, Lord, and be with us, Lord, as we go on the highways and do the things we need to do, Lord, our jobs and different things. But, Lord, may you be pleased with us, Lord. I know we're pleased with you, Lord, but I pray that you'd be pleased with us, Lord, in our attitude and pleased with our way we dress and the way we talk, Lord. The world will see something different, Father. That's what the world's groaning for. The world is groaning for somebody to be different. Somebody to manifest, Lord, your word that says by your stripes we're already healed. And I pray that, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go ahead. You're dismissed. Let's sing Created Me a Clean Heart as we're dismissed. Remember Wednesday night, Brother Aaron will be preaching Wednesday night. Just pray for him. Pray for us. Like I said, if everything turns out good, when everything turns out good, we will, you need one? One for Sharon. Okay. Let's come back up here. Okay. Sister Sharon, have you heard any more? Got to be some kind of infection. All right, we're going to pray for her. Okay. This is for Sister Sharon. We all know Sister Sharon. It's his older sister between him and Esther. And she's a, no, older than that. But she's been, she had a stroke years ago, and they found her the other day. She was really dehydrated and very confused. So, and for her to be that, she's got to be sick. So they have her to hospital now. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we come to you, Lord. Lord, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, may we bind together with the faith of our brothers here, Lord, and the sisters that are praying, Lord, for our sister Sharon, Lord, that you would raise her up out of this, Lord. May the doctors do their job, Lord, but you're the one that does the healing, Father. You're the one, Lord, that does the work that needs to be done. We pray now, Lord, that you will comfort her also in her mentality, Lord, that she'll not be confused. And Lord, it will give you the praise and honor and glory for it. She'll be raised up, Lord, and give a wonderful testimony, Father, as all of us will. Give a wonderful testimony, Lord, that you've done what you said you're going to do. You would heal us if we would ask. We ask these things and ask you to grant it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Y'all know we had a man one time, terminal cancer, 3 months to live. Dad gave him a prayer cloth. He lived 9 years. 9 years. Cancer was gone out of his prostate. He lived 9 wonderful years. We hunted together. He went to Alaska and we call it bighorn sheep hunting, climbed mountains, but he lived 9 years. He had 3 months to live, according to the doctors in Columbia, South Carolina. And just by giving him a prayer cloth. Wasn't no shouting, we didn't run around the building. Daddy handed him a prayer cloth and said, you know what this is? He said, yeah, I do believe it. I know what that is. He said, well, put it on you. And he said, I'll see you. Because the guy was saying bye. He was saying bye to us. We weren't going to hunt for another 6 months. And he was supposed to be dead in 3 months. Well, we hunted the next year and the next year and the next year and the next year. About 6 years, I think, we hunted with him. And I mean hunting hard. And he had no physical, nothing. He was fine. Prayer cloth. It works. It's not hocus pocus. Acts 19 said they took cloths off of Paul. Well, you know what? Paul got the same Holy Ghost I got. Paul got the same Holy Ghost you got. So it's going to do the same thing. God bless you. You can go. You're dismissed. Creating me a